Good evening. I thank you for this opportunity that I might come before you and impart the word to you. Am I speaking loud enough? Can everyone hear? I'm kind of used to a microphone. I would like to begin in Luke, the fourth chapter of Luke. There's a story in there concerning Jesus. And I'll start with the 14th verse in the fourth chapter of Luke. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. Now this is just after he was out in the desert and he was tempted of the devil, and then he received strength. Then there went out a fame of him through all the region round about. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." So tonight I desire to talk about the one who stood up and quoted Isaiah. The one who was anointed to preach the gospel to the poor. The one that came that broken hearts might be healed. The one that came that delivered us. He says a deliverance to the captives. What were we captive to? We were captive to sin. And the recovering of the sight of the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised. Even our Lord Jesus Christ. My thoughts fell upon forgiveness when I read this verse of scripture. It's something that the Lord gives unto those who come before him with a broken heart and a contrite spirit. It's something that is free, and it's something that's all encompassing. There's no other clauses on there that stipulate that you are forgiven, but it's total. And so in this forgiveness, we find that the broken hearts and those that are captive to sin and those that their sight is blind and those that are bruised from the sin are healed. And the one that made it possible was even our Lord Jesus Christ. It was 4 years ago, approximately 4 years ago and 2 months, that I experienced that outreach of the all-loving God and all-forgiving God. It was here in this little church. And it changed my life. When the Lord said in Matthew, the 11th chapter, 28th through the 30th verse, we touched upon it this morning in our Sunday school, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Those words are they're very special to me. All ye that labor and are heavy laden. I thought about those words. What were they laboring in? They must have been laboring in something that caused them to have a heavy burden. So the only thing that I can think of is sin. And I will give you rest. Rest from all this. Rest from all those things of the world. Peace of mind. Take my yoke upon you. Those in which he desires to give unto you the forgiveness and that peace of mind within your heart and that peaceable walk on this earth. And so he was an example to us, and he showed us that through meekness and lowliness in heart, things could be accomplished for the good of the Father, that he might be glorified. The promise in Matthew was also fulfilled. And that was the words of Christ in the 7th chapter of Matthew. I found in my life, and I know them to be true, and so I testify before you that this is true. In the 7th chapter, in the 7th verse, he says, "Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened." So there's a duty and a responsibility for us here. For we first must ask. We must ask the Lord to come into our lives. We must ask the Lord to help us in our lives. We must ask the Lord to forgive us. And to recognize that we do err before him. And so it is a responsibility and something in which the Lord cannot accomplish within our lives unless we do the asking. We have to open that door. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. We find in the scriptures as we read that there is only one sin that we know of that is recorded that cannot be forgiven of man. One sin. There are those that are difficult for men to be forgiven of, but there is only one sin that cannot be forgiven. And we find it recorded in Matthew in the 12th chapter, 31st and the 32nd verse. We find, "Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men. But the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come." It's also recorded in Mark. And our brothers, we also recorded it in the Book of Mormon. We find the evidence of it on page 445 in the Book of Mormon. To support the Bible, we find in the 8th verse, it says, "For behold, if ye deny the Holy Ghost, when it once was had place in you," it kind of clarifies that a little bit about the understanding of blaspheming against the Holy Ghost. It says, "If ye deny the Holy Ghost when it once has had place in you, and ye know that ye deny it, behold, this is a sin which is unpardonable." Now, the sins in which I was talking about that are difficult, our brother in the 7th verse also states it, "Save it be the shedding of innocent blood or denying the Holy Ghost." So we find that there is only one unpardonable sin. I just wanted to bring this to your attention so that when you are caught up into sin and you feel that you cannot be forgiven, remember that there is only one sin that's unpardonable. The Lord would desire you to always come before him in a humble attitude. We find the evidence of the beautiful story in John of where the Master was working among the children of men. It's beautiful because it shows the love of God. It's in the 8th chapter of John. We find recorded a woman caught in adultery. She was caught in the very act, as the story goes. And those of the Pharisees, they were looking to tempt Jesus. And we find as they brought her before him, seeking his judgment in this matter, the wisdom in which the God the Father gave to him is now written for us to understand. This they said, tempting him, starting in the 6th verse, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground, as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. He that is without sin. There's not too many that has dwelled on the earth who could fit that category. And Christ knew it. And so in his wisdom, he spoke those words. And it convicted them in their hearts. And he said, and again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. And when Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none by the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. This is all the Lord asks of us. To strive and to endeavor not to sin no more. She was forgiven. We find the love of God. His desires for us is not to be cast away from Him and His Heavenly Father. His true desire is for us all to be in His presence. And His love is great for us. And he has showed it to us many times in the scriptures and also in our own lives. In Mosiah, our brother was confronted with a particular problem. Our brother Alma. We find that the king, King Mosiah, gave him the task of judging those who had broke away from the church, those that went off into transgressions. And so he besought the Lord in guidance and counseling and fasting and prayer. And the Lord answered him. And we find in 137th verse on page 284 that this is the words in which he said unto him, Therefore I say unto you, Go, and whosoever transgresseth against me, him shall ye judge according to the sins which he has committed. And if he confess his sins before thee and me, and repenteth in the sincerity of his heart, him shall ye forgive, and I will forgive him also. And as often as my people repent, will I forgive them their trespasses against me. And ye shall also forgive one another your trespasses. For verily I say unto you, he that forgiveth not his neighbor's trespasses, when he says that he repents, the same hath brought himself under condemnation. So there is another stipulation that we find, that we ourselves must be able to forgive one another. Sometimes we think within ourselves that, I can do that. I've forgiven him. Yet when you see him or when he makes another mistake, you instantly remember that thing in which he had already had desired you to forgive him of. Maybe it's a human nature. Is that truly forgiveness? Is that what the Lord does before thee and before you? I think when you petition the Lord to forgive you and he has forgiven you, he says that they are cast into the sea and not remembered anymore. So you'll never be confronted with it again in your life. And so, for us to say, yes, I forgive my brother, we have to do likewise. We have to cast that out of our mind and put it far from us and not remember that thing. And if we don't, the Lord says here that we're under condemnation. How can we receive the forgiveness in which we ask the Father for? We find that the Lord spoke to Isaiah. He was pleading with the house of Israel, but we can liken it to ourselves. In the first chapter, in the 18th verse, it says, "Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord." It almost sounds like a plea. "Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. And if ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land." And I interpret that as having everlasting life with the Father and the Son. So there are no conditions in there of forgiveness. We find within the bride, or at least as I have been active these few years, I haven't been active as long as maybe some of you, but I find a thing that is within the bride that I think impairs the bride or the body of Christ. And that's the ability of its people to forgive one another and to forbear one another as the Lord would with his own people on an individual basis. We find that many times it divides the bride and it causes contention and strife. Those things which Paul writes and says this is not of the Spirit of the Lord. And we also find the horrible earmarks in which tells us that it is that we are on the road to a destruction if we're not careful. We find in Mark in the 3rd chapter, and it's also recorded in Matthew, Christ was tempted again and by the Pharisees, and he casted out a devil, and they were calling him the prince of the devils because he cast out the devil. And the words in which he answered them pertain also to that in which I'm trying to bring out tonight. In the 24th verse in the 3rd chapter, we find, "And if a kingdom be divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house be divided against itself, that house cannot stand. And if Satan rise up against himself and be divided, he cannot stand, but hath an end." So we can liken this on an individual basis within our lives, that as we allow a little sin or a little breakdown within our lives, that the devil is is providing a way to divide us and to break us from the Spirit of the Lord And we can also liken it to a small group, as contentions and strife, and those things in which people do not desire to forgive one another of, grow within the hearts of the children of men. It causes division. Another avenue in which Satan can break and destroy and devour. We know that that is his desire for the kingdom. There's nothing more than he would like to do than to cause that. It says, as a roaring lion walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. We find that this also can apply to the total bride in things in which individuals believe in or don't believe in, which causes strife. We don't all see eye to eye. Yet many times this brings that destruction in which causes that kingdom to be divided and brought asunder. There are some words in which our president happened to be the 16th president of the United States, Abraham Lincoln. He realized that as well. And in one of his orations, it was an address before the Young Men's Lyceum at Springfield, Illinois, on January 27, 1838. He spoke these words, and I'd like to bring them to your attention this night. He says, at what point shall we expect the approach of danger? What point? By what means shall we fortify against it? Shall we expect some transatlantic military giant to step the ocean and crush us at a blow? Never. All the armies of Europe, Asia, and Africa combined could not by force take a drink from the Ohio or make a track on the Blue Ridge in a trail of 1,000 years. At what point then is the approach of danger to be expected? I answer, if it ever reach us, it must spring amongst us. It cannot come from abroad. If destruction be our lot, we ourselves must be its author and finisher. As a nation of free men, we must live through all times, or die by suicide. Pretty prophetic. We are free men. We have been made free by Christ. Thus, making it our decision, our decisions determine our destruction by suicide, as Abraham Lincoln said, or a nation of free men. There's something in which, again, that our brother in Isaiah, the 52nd chapter, prophesied concerning us, we being a part. In the first verse of the 52nd chapter, he says, awake, awake. Put on thy strength, O Zion. Put on thy beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city. For henceforth there shall no more come unto thee the uncircumcision and the unclean. Shake thyself from the dust. Arise and sit down. O Jerusalem, loose thyself from the bands of thy neck. O captive daughter of Zion. It's a plead for his people to shake themselves from this internal problems within Zion itself, bands of thy neck, O captive daughter of Zion. It's a plea to rise from the dust, to come up, and to bring yourself above those things. Arise and sit down, O Jerusalem. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings. Even Jesus Christ brought those good tidings as he spoke. That publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publish salvation, that saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth. What more beautiful words can we speak unto the children of men than to bring those good tidings, to let them know that they have a God in heaven that loves them dearly, and that they have a way to come before him, even Jesus Christ, the living Savior. How more of a perfect peace can we have to have that understanding that bringeth good tidings of good, that publish salvation, that saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth. Thy watchmen shall lift up the voice, with the voice together shall they sing, for they shall see eye to eye when the Lord shall bring again Zion. They shall see eye to eye. It almost leads me to believe that maybe right now we may not have that ability to see eye to eye. Yet the opportunity is before each and every one of us. As we draw ourselves closer unto the Lord, he can bring us to that closer understanding on an individual basis. And then, in turn, we becoming more in the unity of understanding. Break forth into joy, sing together, ye waste places of Jerusalem. For the Lord hath comforted his people, he hath redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord hath made bare his holy arms in the sight of all nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. We being the partakers of that salvation, when we entered into the waters of baptism, we have a little understanding of what our brother is saying. Yet there is a large populace that do not understand that. And it has been given unto us that we have the responsibility, through the power and the direction of the Lord Jesus Christ, to bring this unto the children of men. It is not of ourselves, but through his strength. There's a prayer which our brother David spoke. I read it in my last sermon, and I feel it's applicable. It's the 80th Psalm, and it's a prayer asking the Lord to receive again his people and to forgive them. Beginning with the first verse in the 80th Psalm, he says, give ear, O shepherd of Israel, thou that leadest Joseph like a flock, thou that dwellest between the cherubim, shine forth. This is Christ. In the 14th verse, he says, return, we beseech thee, O God of hosts. Look down from heaven and behold and visit this vine, this local, this remote individual, not near a local. Come, visit this vine. And the vineyard which thy right hand hath planted, we truly believe that it was restored in 1830 by the power and authority of God Almighty. It's So truly, he has planted this vineyard. So he's saying, and the vineyard which thy right hand hath planted, and the branch that thou madest strong for thyself. It is burned with fire, it is cut down, they perish at the rebuke of thy countenance. Let thy hand be upon the man of thy right hand, upon the son of man whom thou madest strong for thyself. So will not we go back from thee. Quicken us, O Lord, quicken us. And we will call upon thy name. Turn us again, O Lord, God of hosts. Cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. The all-loving Father asked us to come before him. In meekness and lowliness of heart. In these our days of probation, let us approach him in that manner, that we might always abide in his love. God bless you.